First time, long time. Welcome to our new setup in the Barstool Sports HQ office. Yeah, that's right. Are we sanctioned? Are we unsanctioned? We'll know that soon, hopefully. But right now, you got Smitty, you got Roan, you got Derek, Philly Mays in the booth. Shout out Stefan for the setup. And I don't know, look good, feel good, play good. What do you think?
I kind of feel like we're pirates who are like slowly boarding the ship. Like I kind of feel like we were like on land far away, then we were kind of floating in a little flotilla right on the side, and now we're boarding on the ship, and it's like maybe we'll just wind up as part of the band of merry men.
Yeah, we're going to be pirates washing up on the seas of Jetro Lot and just wasting away there for the rest of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Which is commendable.
Yeah, we're making it happen, dude. We're taking this Barstool Philly shit to a new level, a different level at least.
Can you say the moon?
Yeah, let's fucking shoot for the moon, dude. And if we miss, we'll land amongst the stars, dude. That's what I always said. Even though that doesn't actually make sense because I'm pretty sure that the moon's less high than the stars or whatever. But that's science that we're not scientists. We're Philly sports guys.
Well, it's gravitational force. I mean, if an object is in motion, it stays in motion in space, and you just keep going on for eternity.
Yes, dude, and that's what we're fucking trying to do in here. And we're taking it to the studio, and we're going to be chopping it up just like we always do. Birds, Phillies, Sixers, some Flyers. Shout out to our guys, Booze and John Kelly, who can't be here today.
And Jordy,
another Flyers guy, not in the building. We might even sprinkle in some lax talk in there. We might sprinkle in some fucking kicks talk, some indoor soccer talk, dude. That would be that's what we really need.
Philly kicks still exist?
I don't think
there's
they do.
There's no way they do.
We gotta break in and fucking
the union. You need to get the union chatter.
The union
back,
too,
baby.
But I mean, just watching old kicks episodes, I feel like would be, or old kicks games might be incredible for us.
So we're here in the office, and this is the way it's going to be every Tuesday. You're going to get a set podcast. Myself, Roan, people sprinkled in. This is going to be our official Barstool Weekly podcast, but we are still going to get in some Twitter spaces with the live callers.
Yes.
Before and after games. We did one last Thursday night. Good times. Eagles open it up next week. I'm sure we're going to figure out some sort of schedule where we get in the mix, either with live shows or getting people in and out through the calls.
And obviously, Penn Casinos, that's got Penn right in the name. It's Pennsylvania.
Literally.
Like, we're going to be down there trying to mix it up, making sure that the app is rolling in the right direction, that we're getting the right bets in, that we're having fun events with you motherfuckers, hanging out, making sure that we're mixing it up with the people, rubbing elbows, staying true to our roots, not getting too fucking full of ourselves in this highfalutin New York office.
Ooh, big word, falutin. I'm sure William Penn, that Quaker bastard, approves of us using his name for gambling purposes.
Dude, there's no doubt in my mind that William Penn and Ben Franklin would have been at the fucking Penn Casinos themselves at the tables, placing responsible wagers, but riding it out. And later on in this show, we're probably going to get into some wagers as far as futures for the Birds this season.
Oh, then believe it. And that's where we start off. How more excited can you get in this life than for Eagles, Jets, preseason week football?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. it's gonna kind of suck because I've been really ramping myself up to watch these games. I've been fired up. And I've been let down every single time, just as far as entertainment value. It's hard for me to keep my focus, and I should be. I should be, like, seeing who's, like, running the crispest routes or who's really engaged on special teams. But it's just hard for me to even be locked into these games because I know we're right around the corner, one more preseason game, and then it's the real deal against Atlanta.
Yeah, if I mean, for preseason football, it's always going to be shit for entertainment value. But even trying to get a good feel on where this team is at, I don't have it.
Yeah,
I don't have it at all.
It's been a roller coaster ride already. Like, I feel like the expectations were super duper fucking low when Nick Sirianni started talking. And then somehow after that, they even got lower at the start of the preseason as Jalen Hurts didn't look that good. Then out of nowhere, there was this like massive spike in positivity where it seemed like people are predicting Jalen Hurts to be this transcendent quarterback who's going to do all kinds of crazy things. But then since then, it's plummeted back to earth again, and people have it's almost leveled out. It's like people are at this 6-win threshold, and it feels like everybody's 6-11. Like everybody's almost come to the consensus that it's going to be 6-11. Now, I still think people will be pissed off when they're losing these games. It's not like the expectations are going to match up with the reactions to those expectations. But going into the season, it seems like everybody is kind of settled on the fact that we're going to be a notch below mediocre.
Do you think Nick Sirianni's a sly? I don't want to say genius, but a fucking genius for coming in and giving off this Magoo impression, whether he wanted to or not, to basically give the idea out that he maybe doesn't know what he's doing, so those expectations would be dog dick low from the jump, and then there would be nowhere to go but up, because we didn't expect much from him when he first opened his mouth, and then he kind of, you know, he warmed up to us, like, oh, maybe this guy isn't so much of a dog dick idiot that he perceived himself to be.
Dude, I think that it could go either way. It's either he is the genius of all geniuses, setting the expectations low, and white men can't jumping us, like going out, like stretching, looking like a dork, looking like he's going to have absolutely nothing going on, or he actually is that bumbling idiot, and we are all fucked for like the considerable future, at least one, maybe two seasons. Because if he is as dumb as he has seemed at his dumbest moments, It's truly bad.
It's really bad.
But if he is some kind of sly fox, and if he has been kind of playing us, which he's making us believe, he's been saying the entire time, like, oh, I'm not really showing anything in the preseason.
But he is even saying himself that the expectations are low. He is coming out and blatantly stating that the Eagles are not where he wants them to be right now. I kind of think that's smart.
I don't know, dude. It seems smart because, like, It'll always get better than that, but I think it was 35-0, Smitty. Like 35-0, there's nothing sly fox about that. You at least sneak one touchdown in, so there's like a level of competency, a baseline of competency being like, okay, I'm winking at the camera. I can do this if I want to. I can orchestrate a drive. There was nothing. There was nothing redeemable. Like after the 35-0, it's like, oh, like he wasn't joking around. He really is just an idiot.
I think maybe him and propaganda minister Howie Roseman both saw and heard from the WIP callers that everyone's getting excited, maybe thinking, hey, we could get a 9-10-11-win season under our belts here. It's a possibility. And then Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman took a step back and said, there's no fucking way. We need to manage these expectations. And maybe they blew the game 35-0 just to bring everyone back down to the fucking sea level.
That could have been. I mean, he is a master manipulator, Howie Roseman is, but we're giving him a lot of credit for a guy that we've been calling an idiot for a while. I just don't know. I've seen reports right now that they're trying to trade for a wide receiver. And
what?
I mean, I don't know if every single preseason
Did you actually?
Yeah, that the Eagles are trying to trade for a wide receiver. Like, I don't think that they're trying to give up future draft capital, but they're trying to do like maybe a player for player trade.
How many times do we need to draft and go out and bring in Golden Tates left and right before we realize maybe you should just stop fucking bringing in wide receivers and build up some other position?
Yeah, I mean, I think that every preseason wide receivers look really good, but are they going to wind up being really good is what I'm wondering. Like, is Quez Watkins obviously looks incredible in the preseason. Jalen Reagor's been making awesome catches. Devontae Smith we're obsessed with, but like...
But why are they looking to bring in wide receivers when you have Travis Fulgham, who probably won't even make the team this year, is being reported right now, goes out and leads the entire league in receiving yards for 4 straight weeks last year, and he's going to get cut and picked up by somebody else and be a fucking all-pro maniac.
But I don't... If he can't do it in the preseason or in practice, like if he's not standing out in practice, don't you think something's wrong with him? Like, don't you think that it could have been an aberration that he like played really well for that time? Because like, why can't he beat Josiah fucking Scott or whoever he's matching up against in practice? Fucking Graylin Arnold or whatever. Like, he should be able to dominate those dudes if he's going to be able to dominate in the actual games.
You're not wrong, but do you give the nod to him who has proven that he can do it even in short bursts? Or Tim Hightower, who hasn't done shit.
Yeah, John Hightower.
John Hightower.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Tim Hightower?
Was he somebody? Yeah, was he another?
He might have been...
You got these laptops.
He might have been a Ocean Drive acquaintance back in the day. Some father judge kid.
He was just letting you in. He worked Tim the back Hightower. Door. No, Tim Hightower
Hightower was a running back for the Redskins.
Okay,
the Redskins.
There you go.
That's
somebody.
A person.
He's somebody.
What the fuck?
John Hightower and Quez Watkins, yeah, he's faster than a speeding ball sack, but like, Fulgham at least did it last year at some point. Now you're talking about cutting him, A, or bringing in somebody else?
I think
else?
That they're talking about a receiver who hasn't had success. Like, their version of Andre Dillard, a guy who's like, oh, he sucked as a rookie. He sucked in his sophomore year, and maybe we'll be able to do something with him. I think they're talking about a N'Keal Harry or like a Denzel Mims, somebody who hasn't done well where they were drafted, who the Eagles had interest in at some point. I think that you're just obviously not about
those
to
Patriots and Jets retreads.
I mean, you're not going to be able to bring in like a stud wide receiver. Like, you're not going to bring in
God forbid you just
Adam Thielen or
DK
something like
Metcalf
that
or Justin Jefferson. But I mean, it's the same conversation every week. It's the same conversation every week, and I'm done for the next 5 minutes.
Okay,
I'm done.
Fine, that's fair. Okay. You're allowed to be done. You're allowed to be frustrated, but it's also I'm anxious to see what has been preseason hype and what has been what is actually real, because every preseason we fall in love with guys. And I was just rattling off, I was just typing down a couple names of guys that I've fallen in love with over the years as far as preseason guys. And I mean, there's been a lot of guys.
Sam Rayburn
was definitely one of the names that
it's
I wrote down.
It's always good when you can get off on a D-tackle in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, but there's like DeAndre Carter, a wide receiver who was a stud for us. Paul Turner, obviously a wide receiver who was a stud for us. And that's what I'm worried about. Like, are these wide receivers just Paul Turnering us right now? And they're looking incredible in the preseason. But then it's like, are they going to be able to get off against a actual first-round pick and not somebody who they're climbing the ranks of being able to barely be on the roster bubble against, if they're just going against those guys? Like, where's the legitimacy?
I'm trying to think of preseason players who came out of nowhere for the Eagles, or, you know, relatively out of nowhere, that actually succeeded during the regular season and had fine careers. And the one that stands out the most, and really the only one that coming out to my mind right now, is Brent Celek. Fifth or sixth round pick out of Cincinnati, came in, obviously backup. I don't know if Chad Lewis is still there or not, but absolutely was making like wild highlight reel catches during camp, and he ended up having an Eagles Hall of Fame career.
Like, you're saying guys who actually were impactful.
Yeah, I'm talking about guys not named Patrick Turner.
But I mean, Reno Mahe came out of nowhere, but he wasn't. But he was on the team for a while.
Was on the team for a while because he fucking like served Andy Reid lunch at BYU once, and Andy Reid fell in love with him.
This is a good
and
kid
could
right
secure
here.
Punts and kicks without fucking having to go through his wickets.
I'm like pretty sure Reno Mahe was a wide receiver at BYU, and then he ran a 4.78 at the combine, and they're like, "Well, he'll be a running back. We're actually going to make him into a running back."
Reno Mahe, but
he was undrafted. He made the team for a couple years.
But you want to talk about supreme Andy Reid hardcore BYU nepotism?
Yeah, no, that's definitely what that is.
Reno Mahe.
Yeah, you needed a good Mormon presence in the locker room. There was too many guys caffeined up out of their mind.
Who else did he have? I mean, Chad Lewis was he was serviceable.
Was
at least
Coy Detmer?
Ty was BYU.
Coy wasn't?
He might have been too. Probably was.
Yeah, if you're a Detmer, you got to be a Mormon.
You know, and I don't want to fire shots here, but I'd like to say 2 to 3 years ago, after an Eagles like loss or whatever, I gave like my reaction, and this guy was like trolling me like no other, just online, just like coming at me relentlessly. You know, like, we're human here. Uh-huh. We check people out and deep dive. It was Coy Detmer's kid.
Shut up.
I was like, come on, man.
Why was he on your ass?
I guess I wasn't doing a good enough job evaluating.
Damn. Coy Detmer has the all-time neck beard in Eagles Hall of Fame. There's nobody that's grown more hair on the front of their neck than Coy Detmer.
It looked good, and he was great for the time being. He would never exist in today's NFL again, just live on as a holder. Getting back
a quarterback. He was an all-star holder, but he was spunky. He was a punky QB. He was fucking, who's the closest thing to him? Gardner Minshew?
Probably his brother Ty, but
yeah, I mean, body type wise, he was a slender man.
Yeah,
that boy was slim.
Yeah, he was good. He was the perfect backup quarterback for that time. Could come in and win games until AJ Feely came along. Well, I mean, McCoy got injured, but he was good. And I got no hate on
Quidette
Brewer's kid.
Some games.
I got to pick it up, but just like one of those things I didn't expect to see. I'm like, Quidette Brewer's kid hates me? Come on.
You probably said something slanderous about Coy back
Never.
In fucking 12.
Now, I see, I have that relationship with a number of Eagles players, too. Fletcher Cox has me blocked on Twitter. And I'm like, what the fuck did I say to Fletcher Cox? Go through my the list of everything I said tagged with Fletcher Cox in it. It's literally saying Fletcher Cox is God. No, God, don't take Fletcher Cox's leg. Take my soul instead. It's like, let me blow Fletcher Cox. Literally every single tweet directed at him was the most positive, not even positive, just like godly appreciation for the man. He blocked me.
Maybe he was worried that you were actually going to blow him. Maybe he's it's just possible. Like, let me keep this guy at a considerable safe distance to make sure I don't accidentally get blown.
That's fine. Yeah, as long as he stays away from my wife, he can do whatever he wants.
And I mean, the comments like that are probably what's fucking getting your ass blocked by him.
He's a wife slayer. What are you going to do?
Well, that's what's getting you blocked, because you're putting it out there that he's a wife slayer, even though he 100% is a wife slayer.
Well, I mean, I didn't put that out there. He put it out there and ended up getting sued.
Another preseason name for us, Dan Klecko.
Ooh.
Dan Klecko. Yep. Fullback, or he was a
Temple guy, wasn't
he? He was a D tackle at Temple, yeah. And then we tried to make him a fullback or something like that. I'm pretty sure
it goes both ways. Well, we didn't try to make him a fullback. Bill Belichick made him a fullback because Bill Belichick knows how to coach.
Yeah, but I was trying to like, but didn't we try to switch him over
probably
to a fullback or something like that? We couldn't land it. Fucking Dan Klecko, but that was a Philly legend. People were fired up about Dan Klecko.
The Eagles and Jets are doing a simultaneous practice this week, and I just want to bring up this article that I read today about Buddy Ryan. It was a Ruben Frank article about Buddy Ryan's first camp in 1985 when they had a joint practice up in Detroit. And
can I guess what happened?
You may.
Did they beat the fuck out of each other?
Well, I don't know if each other was a part of this, but one team beat the absolute piss out of the other team and was not invited back to Detroit.
No
and
way.
That was Buddy Ryan and Andre Waters.
No
who
way.
Who was an undrafted rookie out of Cheney University trying to prove himself, just absolutely beating the shit out of everybody. And Buddy Ryan saying, okay, we got to get out of here and go back to Philly where there's at least soap and water. It's like, okay, buddy.
Damn.
Different times.
That's legendary, though. A, he wound up making the squad.
Pretty good career. Rest in peace.
Yeah, and the fact that that's how it was going down. It's like basketball in the 80s. Like, I feel like there was fewer cameras, nobody knew each other as much, and people were just way more willing to brawl. Like, there probably was less posturing, less people puffing out their chest, and more people just like punching each other in the helmet.
Plus more opportunities. They were 3 and 4 days back then. Full pads, full contact.
Yeah, it was like war. It was like you had multiple battles, and it's like, well, all right, we're going to do battle with you guys tomorrow. We'll collect the dead off the battlefield and then go back out there and try to kill you again.
Those were, I don't know about the days, but those were certainly
those days. Are days. Those were days. Definitely days. Those are definitely days for sure.
Barstool Sportsbook up and running. Pennsylvania, obviously, and now New Jersey. Anybody from, you know,
South Jersey?
Sure. You want to crank it up in Wildwood? Anybody from Millville want to tell your Mike Trout stories? Cherry Hill, all the way up north. Even we'll take the New York scumbags. Want to place bets on the Barstool Sportsbook? You are more willing and able to now on in Jersey, which is delightful.
It's incredible. There's a lot of places you could do it in person or just download the app. Like, it's that simple. The app is great to use, easy to use. You can rip through on Bet with Barstool people. You get all kinds of crazy boosts, prop bets. Fucking, it's an enjoyable experience. Get some bets in.
So we're going to go through some birds-related lines right now. Ron, I'm just going to fire off a few at you, see if you like them or not.
Before you do this, I got to know, do you want my true feelings, peak optimism, because I'm an optimistic guy, especially going into a season, maybe pie in the sky optimism, or do you want me to really fucking hunker down and like try and win some money?
I want you to be realistic. Hunker down in that bunker.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
Figure
all
right,
it all
right, out. Now, right now, we'll go with the NFC East. Dallas plus 150, Washington plus 220, Giants plus 375, Eagles plus 500.
The best value there is Washington and the Eagles, I think. And it's not even close. I think that Washington's defense is going to be incredible. Fitzpatrick will win games. You just have to be mediocre in this division to be able to, and that they have like some weapons where they're moving forward a little bit more respectfully. But I mean respectfully, but No, respect. I don't even know what the fuck I'm trying to say. But the Eagles at plus 500 is really fucking good odds.
They're good odds because they're plus 500. Realistically, it should be like plus 3,000 because there's no fucking way the Eagles are winning the division this year.
Dude,
it just isn't.
I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. I think that this is a wide open enough division where, like, oh, the teams are bad. Like, the other teams are bad. We know that the Cowboys are bad. We know that the Giants are a fucking shit show.
Are the Cowboys bad, though?
Dak Prescott can't fucking stand or throw.
We'll find out. We'll find out, because Dak Prescott was, like, one of the only QBs in NFL history. I think the only QB to throw for, like, 450 yards in three games in a season. He played four games last year.
So, I mean,
we're going to see what happens with Dak and the Cowboys if he's healthy, because plus 150, that's very accurate for them. I do agree, plus 220, great odds for the Washington football team. Plus 375, I don't know about the Giants this year. They're either going to win the division or they're going to be last. It's not going to be an in-between for them.
But it's not I don't think the Giants have any chance of winning the division. I think their coaching is a shit show. I think their quarterback is a shit show. I think that they got a bunch of wide receivers for absolutely nothing because they're just the team is not well put together, in my estimation. And they have a waste of a running back because they're going to be down every game and they're not even going to be able to hand the ball off at any point during the season. But I think that the Eagles at plus 500 is good value because this division is not a runaway in any manner. There's some divisions in the NFL. We know that the Chiefs are going to win their division. We know that the Bucks are going to win their division. Like, there's some divisions that are absolute runaways right now. The NFC East is not one of them. I think that that's a decent bet. I think that that's, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but what bet is? Like, it's no. Decent value.
And the Washington football team, you said, and I say, great value, but they won the division last year. The last NFC East team to go back-to-back. Oh, boy. Can you guess when the last NFC East team to go back-to-back division titles?
Was it like 07?
The 2003 and 2004 Philadelphia Eagles.
God damn.
That's a long time. Because you saw some pretty decent Eagles teams, at least.
And the Giants
far.
Won the Super Bowl
twice.
Since then. Twice.
Twice
since
in
then.
That span.
Right. It's like there's been Super Bowl teams. All of them coming from Philadelphia and New York, but
it's
there
incredible.
Have been Super Bowl teams in that span, and it's still been that much turnover. I think that we're going to see that turnover again.
Over 6.5 wins, Eagles. -152 right now.
I don't think it's that optimistic to say over on that. I really don't think it's that optimistic.
Vegas
to say.
Has put them at 152. See, here's the thing with the over-unders in the NFC East. Yes, there's 17 games, but all of them are very juice-heavy. I'll run through them real quick. Over-under, Eagles, 6.5, -152. The Giants, over 7, -143. Dallas, over 9.5, 152. Washington, over 8 at 141. I don't know how all of them are going to hit if they're playing each other twice a year. But
yeah,
pretty juice heavy odds.
My true hope for what I really think will happen for the Eagles is I think that they will be in it in December. And I think that December will determine whether they make the playoffs or not. My fear is that they'll be in the mix in December. They were in the mix last year, and they had fucking 4 wins. I think that that's how bad the division is, and I think that you only are going to need a certain amount of wins to be in the mix in December.
But do you want to be in the mix if this team doesn't deserve to be in the mix? Because we're gonna see how well this team is very early in the season. Right now, they're 3.5-point dogs against Atlanta in Atlanta. If they go and beat Atlanta, okay, that's showing me something. But then you have to come home and play the 49ers. They get their balls cut off in front of their hometown during the opener. Then, okay.
They're going.
But if they show a fight, if they win in Atlanta and then show at least fight against the 49ers and make it a game, then okay. I can see being in the mix and making it fun. But they go and beat a worthless Atlanta team, come back and just get blown out of the water by the 49ers. I kind of don't want to be in the mix. I kind of want to tank for another first round pick that's high. And rebuild and get after.
Well, there's two things that have made me really realize how good the 49ers are. One of them is how good Trey Lance has looked in the preseason, because it seems like Kyle Shanahan can make anybody good. But what really made me think that is watching how bad Nick Mullins has been in the preseason. The fact that he looked even competent at any point for the 49ers is absolutely unfathomable. That guy sucks at football. So the fact that, like, I'm worried about that 49ers game. I think that there's a decent chance that they'll beat us, but my fear, like you're saying, is that we are a decent team early on. We fall off, but we don't have high enough draft position where we can get another crack at a quarterback, and we wind up having to trade all these draft picks that we've accrued to get to the top of the first round to get a quarterback. I'd rather go fucking 1-16, guarantee that we have the top pick in the draft, draft whatever quarterback we want, but also have our second first round pick from the Dolphins and our third first round pick, hopefully, from the Colts, which is looking like it might convey because Carson Wentz is already out there zigzagging on the field like he's running away from an alligator. That's how you're supposed to run away from an alligator.
Or a caged pheasant, which he probably likes to hunt.
Yeah, the pheasants are back on Carson Wentz's ass.
A little Jalen Hurts slander right there, which, you know,
I just want him to fail quickly. I'm saying if he fails, I want him to fail hard and fail quickly. I don't want him to, like, half fail and fucking struggle in quicksand for a whole season.
Saw a stat out there where Steve Young leads the NFL in history for 300-yard passing games and 60-yard rushing games with four. Michael Vick has like two or three, and like the other predictable guys, like two or three. Jalen Hurts has two.
Jalen Hurts, by the end of this
season, he's only played four games.
He could have the all-time lead in 300-yard, 60-yard games.
Yeah, and it's very arbitrary, but I mean, that stat
that doesn't remind me of early.
Eyes.
Remember the early Nerlens Noel stats when it would be like Nerlens Noel is the first guy to have 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocks, 3 assists since Wilt Chamberlain or some shit. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel is incredible. And then we did it with Okafor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the days. Why not?
I love the cherry picker stat, though.
So here's more over unders
for
you, real quick. Jalen Hurts, we just said. Over 700.5 rushing yards. So if he's averaging 50 a game, that's 800 right there, or 850.
I'll go under on that.
Really? I think if he's healthy, I think that's a very responsible bet right there. You think about it. 50 yards a game, 850 yards. It's at 700.5 right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of rushing yards, though. You think that he'll...
Yes.
Like, you think that he's going to be... So he's going to be one of the best rushing quarterbacks of all time this year.
Out of...
Of all
necessity,
time.
Out of necessity. Not because I think he necessarily wants to do it, but I think he's going to have to do it if he wants to be a success.
Do you remember early in Donovan McNabb's career when he didn't want to be known as a running quarterback? Mm-hmm. When he was like, he would have a running lane, but he didn't want to be pigeonholed or stereotyped as a running quarterback.
Yeah. So he just five-yard slant pattern, like, right in the dirt, right in front of him.
Yeah, he'd try to skip it. He was saying, like, that's where I could have run to, and he would put a divot in the ground right there. But I'm worried that Jalen Hurts might also have some of that, and, like, he might not want to go into full Lamar Jackson mode. But he also, Lamar Jackson didn't have as many 300-yard, 60-yard games as Jalen Hurts did on that list, did he?
He was up there. He had two or three. Well, and McNabb was up there as well. All the predictable guys were up there. I'm just shocked that, like, four is the winner of that one.
And I think that, I mean...
I think Jalen Hurts, out of being a competitor, is just going to try to do everything he can to win ballgames, and that will be including running for his life at very times.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it, and I could see us being down in games, and I could see us having to run a lot or just having four wide receivers out there, sending them down the field, him winding up having some scrambling time or something like that, plus some designed runs. I don't know how much you're going to want to do that. But I did see him, like, squatting 650 pounds this summer, so maybe he'll be able to run some people over.
I played Madden for exactly one series, Madden 22, had Jalen Hurts design draw right up the middle. He gets rugby tackled, meaning he ran the guy over, and he's falling backwards. Fumble. But that's Madden 22 for you. It's the worst fucking game in franchise in the history of the universe.
Respectfully.
No, not respectfully. The game fucking sucks. Devontae Smith, over 800.5 receiving yards. That's tough, up. Dude. I remember seeing that at like 650 a couple weeks ago. So
really?
It's 800 now. I think so. Don't quote me on that.
Damn, dude. That's so
but
tough.
That's a fair line.
I know, because it's going to be a disappointment if it's under, but that's like sneakily high.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think he's going to be like around 750, hit the under, but it's not because of performance, because he's going to be out like four or five games.
He'll just be dinged up and hurt here and there.
And we already saw it, like, obviously this year with the knee, and then Zach Berman's tweeting out, he's limping off the field with the ankle. Like, he's going to miss plays. I mean, that's just a casualty of his body build, I suppose.
Yeah, that sucks. And I kind of agree. But I also, I mean, he could also have, like, 350-yard games.
250-yard games. He could break it in three games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I'll take the over on that one.
Yeah.
I'll take the over if you're getting the under. I'll take the over.
Okay, now you're a Penn State boy. No pun intended. Over 1,000.5 yards, rushing Miles Sanders.
I think under. I think the Miles Sanders isn't looking. I think the Kenny Gainwell is going to take some reps from Miles Sanders because he can actually catch the ball.
Well, you got Kenny Gainwell, and then you have Jordan Howard, who's probably going to make the team now because Nick Sirianni's been ball washing him left and right, and you still got Kerryon Johnson.
I think he got cut. No more Kerryon, but you got Boston Scott though.
Go back to Detroit for you.
Yeah, I think you got Boston Scott though. There's a couple guys, Jason Huntley too. So there's a couple random guys that you could kind of throw in there. I feel like Kenny Gainwell is going to wind up being the one that gets just because of his ability to have some hands, and he's wearing number 14, which is just weird for a running back. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I would go under on Miles Sanders. Dude, and I hate it because I'm looking at Stephen Che's fantasy football projections. I'm looking at Ben Mintz's fantasy football projections, and they're disrespecting the fuck out of Miles Sanders as far as from a fantasy standpoint. Stephen Che doesn't have him in his top 25 running backs. What do you think of that, Smitty? Top 25. He's at least a top 25 running back.
I think he's probably a top 20 running back because he's still going to get the majority of the touches. But
running backs just don't run for over a thousand yards like that anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there were only like three last year, right? I'm pretty sure there were only three running backs in the entire NFL that ran for over 1,000 yards.
In the 17-game season, though, if he stays healthy, that's what, 80 yards a pop, 70 yards a pop?
Yeah.
Less than that.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Actually, you do know. Go under. Then you got two, Devontae Smith plus 1,600 rookie of the year for offense. I mean, that's a tough draw with like Trevor Lawrence out there.
There's too many good quarterbacks. Yeah. They'll give it to whatever quarterback performs the
best.
Or even
Chase in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow throwing him. I think he's going to explode.
Justin Jefferson didn't win last year, right? Herbert did, right?
How could he not have won?
Because really? I think Herbert did.
That's egregious.
And that's what I mean. Like, is he going to put up, even if he has an incredible year, is he going to put up better numbers than Justin Jefferson did last year?
Yeah.
There's a very, very slim chance of that. Even if it's incredible. If he has 100 catches, like, it's still going to be tough to put up those kind of numbers, and that still didn't win.
And then you have two of my favorite prop bets across the board in the NFL, Eagles-related, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Over, under, 3,900.5 yards. What do you got?
Over.
Not a chance.
Why?
Way under.
Why?
Way under. He's not throwing for 4K himself. Not only that, he's going to get in stretches where he's going to look like absolute dog piss, and they're going to bring in the hymen.
but he always
needs to be broken in Washington.
He's going to have 400 yards, six touchdowns. He's going to have at least one game where he has 400 yards and six touchdowns.
Okay, that's fine. He still has 35 more 100 yards to go. And he's going to be benched, I'm going to say, three or four games this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Benched? No, dude. I think that I believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick in a weird way. Just because he always beats the fucking Eagles.
Well, you think that's that hard to do?
He'll just throw up that fucking Devontae Parker game against the Eagles haunts my fucking memories when Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Devontae Parker game. What about 2 years ago when DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans had a field day for Tampa Bay? It was DeShaun Jackson, right?
Was it?
Was he for
Tampa Bay? With Fitzpatrick?
Well, Fitzpatrick lit him up. That was a game when
Watson
was out and Fitzpatrick threw for like five touchdowns.
Yes. He'll have five touchdowns and 400 yards, and it'll probably happen against the Eagles.
Did even DeShaun Jackson play for fucking
he did.
Tampa?
He did. They were on Hard Knocks together.
My mind's all over
there
the place.
There was like a point where DeShaun Jackson was talking shit on super teams in the NBA, being like, super teams, like that's corny how people just go to a team and try and win a championship. And then Evans was like, that's what you're doing right here in Tampa Bay. And then DeShaun Jackson was off the team within years, and Tampa Bay wound up winning a championship with Mike Evans.
Well, you know what team he's on now.
Who? The
Los Angeles Rams.
Is he?
Yeah.
Deshaun is?
Yeah, he's actually going to be a nice little weapon for them, just coming in and firing at large.
I think that if we're, I mean,
because I mean, he's only going to play two games a year, so I mean, might as well save him for two games. You know, three catches, 175 yards, two touchdowns per game.
I think that Cooper Kupp is going to be an absolute stud this year. I think Cooper Kupp's going to have 120 catches this year.
I think Matt Stafford might put up records. MVP,
Yeah, he's going to be incredible.
But one of my favorite prop bets out there, NFL Eagles related, Nelson Aguilar over 4.5 touchdown catches, minus 124. He might have a game where he has like three.
Yeah, he's going to have over 4.5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's their number one receiver.
Pretty much.
He definitely is.
Pretty much.
But also, like, they're in for a rude awakening because he's going to drop the ball.
He will. He will.
He's going to. But they're excited for him. They're like, oh, he can take the top off the defense like nobody that we've had since fucking, I don't even know, who was their last really fast receiver?
Randy Moss?
Yeah. Randy Moss, baby?
Yeah.
That's a good call.
It wasn't
Troy Brown?
Who was the lax player? Chris Hogan?
Hogan?
Stretching the field a little bit. Penn State guy.
So he'll definitely have a bunch of touchdowns for him.
He's going to get the opportunities. That's pretty much where that comes in.
They should have a prop bet on whether Zach Ertz winds up getting traded to the Patriots.
Why? Because Belichick said he wants him.
Belichick.
But how he's holding out for three first-round picks.
And three grandchildren.
If Howie can get anything for Zach Ertz,
he will. If he can get anything for Andre Dillard, he should be
package him.
He should have a statue built for
him. Package both of them for like a third round pick in 2045,
or for one of these receivers. I would trade Andre Dillard for Denzel Mims, and then cut them both. Just cut Denzel Mims. Just get them both cut.
Retread wide receiver. Happy horse shit. Okay, let's switch. Phillies.
I'm going to the Phillies game tonight.
Ooh.
First game of the season that I'm going to.
Wonderful. At home against the Tampa Bay.
The Rays.
Formerly known as the Devil Rays. You got Ranger Suarez on the mound. He's pitching fairly good. Look at his over for strikeouts. But I think we have a bet with Smitty going up. Bryce Reese hits. Money line win. And these two games are important for the Phillies because not only do they need to keep up with the Braves, who finally lost against the Yankees, but they're the only two games in which they are essentially facing a good team for the rest of the season until they face the Braves.
Yeah. I mean, the Rays are four games in first place, four games ahead of the Yankees in first place right now.
They're so good.
And they're fucking... Like, if you can beat the Rays, that's pretty good.
I hate how good they are. They need to split this series because after these two games, 36 games left, only 30 of them are against losing teams. 30 out of the 36 are against teams with a losing record. Best, easiest schedule.
Let's fucking go. Let's win one.
Strength of schedule. Like, just win one. Maybe even sweep. Fuck it. Sweep the Rays.
I'm going to be in the fucking building, bro. Help me out one time.
Help you help Roon.
But Reese is back, though. Reese is back, and he's hitting dingers.
I mean, Reese is back one game, two dingers. What are you going to do? It's a shame that this entire lineup bats a buck fucking 74 without Reese Hoskins, who I love.
That's fine,
but
though.
Should not be the anchor.
But he
of
is,
your
though. Let
existence.
Him be the anchor. He is the anchor.
I don't know.
He is the anchor.
There's things about this lineup that really turn me off. I mean, obviously, you got Alec Boehm, who's just completely falling off the map. That can't happen. Andrew McCutcheon's going 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. Like, Golden Sombrero's 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. I don't even know what 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts is. The fucking Golden Sombrero and a Happy Taco. Like, how do you even put yourself in that position, Andrew McCutcheon? 0 for 5, 5 strikeouts. Unacceptable.
That's fine, though. That's fine. We said that Reese needs to come back and start taking care of business. Reese came back. They start taking care of business.
One game, but yes, after the...
But we said that they needed to beat the Padres, and they started to beat the Padres.
They should have swept the Padres. They had a perfect game by Aaron Nola.
Yeah, that was
bad.
That
was just absolutely...
Those are the losses that really hurt. Having looking that good and then just having it ripped away from you in that fashion, that's painful. But also, it can't be defining of this team. I don't think it's going to be defining of this team. You just need little fortifications among the roster. Reese being back is that.
If they can split with the Rays... Sweet. Boom, boom. They can sweep. That's great. But sweet. They can split.
Sweet.
Hope is still here. Because then you got the Diamondbacks coming in who are actually like playing better than average ball right now after that sweep last week, which is like totally, totally unacceptable on the Phillies' part. But the Diamondbacks, and you got all a very good, nice, healthy, lovely schedule. And the Braves playing the Yankees. They got a tough schedule coming up. There's still hope. There's still hope. And we'll wrap it up this week with a little bit of Ben Simmons Kool-Aid every day. It looks like he's chucking them up from three. Looking good, Roan. Not looking too shabby. He's alley-ooping to Morant. Looking pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that shot. I mean, that lefty.
I know,
looks
dude.
And fresh. I know. Fresh and wet. What do you say?
My problem is, like, I don't want to have too strong of an opinion because, like, if he winds up coming back, I don't want to, like, not even be eating my words, but just to have put that bad energy out into the world. I don't know what's going to happen, Smitty, and I hope the best thing happens for all of us.
We all know that he's not coming back, but I do love how he's doing this Kool-Aid bullshit for the fourth offseason in a row where he's showing that he can score, because you want to know what? It just opens the eyes of everybody across this great nation of ours and Canada, in which you can say, hey, look, he's going to come back maybe.
And
he's
Australia.
Gonna do this. And Australia and China and wherever the fuck basketball is being played, or we want to send him to get value. Again, send him to Siberia, play in that league. If we can get some sort of value.
What do you think his motive is, though? Do you think that he's doing this to audition for other teams, right? He's doing this to be like, hey, Golden State, I can shoot the ball. Like, he's trying to, like, look flashy for...
He's doing this to pump his own dick, which is why he did it the past four or five off seasons. The same shit. We see this every single year. And we at least know not to drink the Kool-Aid. Who was the guy who gave everyone Kool-Aid and killed them all? Jim Jones?
Yeah, Jim Jones, yeah, the rapper.
Ben Simmons.
Ballin'.
Some guy named Jones gave everyone Kool-Aid, killed them all. That's no Ben lie. Simmons right now. I'm not drinking it. I'm passing on.
No, for sure. And I think that it is so crazy to think that he wouldn't shoot a layup, and now he's shooting in like
50 footers
with no pressure on
from
him
the parking
to
lot.
Think that he thinks that he's going to trick anyone. And that's why I don't think that it's even for Philadelphia. I don't think that he's trying to like curry favor and get people on his side in Philadelphia. I think he's trying to trick people from other cities to be excited about him, so they clamor for him, so GMs can feel good about trading for him, because at the end of the season his value is at an all-time low. Maybe he's trying to build his value up a little bit like that or something like that, but I don't know. I don't want to put negative energy out there.
I just think Ben Simmons enjoys sucking his own dick. And by the end of his career, he might have all of his ribs removed based on all these fucking
Instagram stories. He was curled up in a ball.
He did a shirtless BMW story last week. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, he should be driving better than a BMW. You're right. He's making that much money.
Maybe it wasn't a BMW. It was shirtless in the car. Like, come on, like, wait. Nobody sucks their own dick like Ben Simmons. You can quote me on that. And that's a shame, because I was a big Ben Simmons blower up until one point. But now I can't even offer to blow him anymore.
The love is gone.
Over his own dick.
The love is gone.
And that wraps us up. Good times. Good times had by all. We'll see you either later this week or shortly thereafter on the Twitter spaces. Going to get a little bit of life going. Eagle season.